Take your Bibles now, if you will, and let's turn to the book of 1 John in the second chapter division, 1 John chapter 2. We'll spend most of our time there in that text. And our series is that we have passed from death unto life. And thank God we have, amen. If you're saved, that's true of you. And I would assume that we're glad for that. We have passed from death, spiritual death, unto life. And there should be some evidences in our lives that that's true. I've met some that had evidences in their life that they'd passed from death unto life. And I've met some who you really doubt and wonder if they really got saved because they don't have the evidences in their life. They may have some good traits, and most people do have some good traits, and they may be moral in some way, but to really know that we have passed from death unto life. And today we want to look at another one of those evidences that should be true in my life, in your life, if indeed we have been born again. And this is lesson 7, the true light now shineth. The true light now shineth. Another evidence that we'll look at here that we are saved, and that evidence primarily is that we love one another, and especially that we love the brethren. We love brothers and sisters in Christ, that we love one another. That's one of the hallmarks to unsaved people, that we're saved and that we have Christ living in our hearts. And John is talking about that. Now in chapter 2, 1 John 2, let's go to verse 7. Let me just read through verse 11. 1 John 2, verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, in other words, saved, following the Lord, obeying the Lord. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. Doesn't add up, is what he's saying. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now, in verse 8, let's go back to that verse just a second. And see what he says in that verse again. A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shines. The true light shines, it shines within us. When we look at the world, we talk about the world living in darkness. People who are unsaved, who are living in darkness. They're not saved. They don't have the light. And so we who are saved have the light. We have Christ in us. Therefore, we should be able to use that light that is in us, Christ in us, to influence and impact other people so they can get rid of their darkness. In other words, so that they can get saved and meet the Lord. And then they too have that light. But we have to earn the right in some measure to talk to them about it. And that's why we need wisdom in the decisions that we make. We make a lot of decisions in life. If we have a long life, and some people have a long life, but they don't have any wisdom in that life. And so though they may live a long time, they're actually failures because they don't have wisdom, they don't have the light. They die in darkness. But then there are those who may not live even a long life, but they have wisdom, and so they have success. And that's why David said in Psalm 90:12, these words, "So teach us to number our days." Are you numbering your days? When we get to our age category, it's not a bad idea to number them a little bit. Start thinking about the fact that most of us, not all of us, but most of us are past that 70 that the Bible promises. And if you're not there, you're nudging it perhaps. But he says, teach us to number our days. And I heard about a man that fixed up a calendar and estimated how much longer he thought he would live, and then he would tear off those days as he went through to see how many days he left. Of course, it was just an educated estimate. But the psalmist said, number our days that we may do what? Think about the time we have left that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. However much longer we're going to live, let's live a life of wisdom. Let's be wise in the life that we live so that we can be successful in God's sight. And of course, days that we have left are gifts from God, aren't they? If God wants to take away your days, He can. So every day is a gift from God, but it is a day in which we are responsible to Him, and we need to give, we need to make the right decisions. The goal is not to have a long life. A lot of us strive and work hard to have a long life, and that's okay, but that isn't the real goal. The real goal is to exercise wisdom in however much time we have left, to use wisdom in our lives, the wisdom that God gives us. There are a lot of people, as I said, who have lived short lives, but they had wisdom. They knew who they were and why they were here. I think of Nate Saint, who was a missionary pilot. He was killed as they went to the Aka Indians in Ecuador, and he was only 33 years of age. That's pretty young, and yet he knew that he was saved. He knew his purpose in life was to serve the Lord, and he went there to help reach those Aka Indians. And then Jim Elliot, who was a missionary, and he was killed, speared to death there by some of the Indians of that tribe, and he was only 29 years of age. But he was saved, and he had wisdom as he served the Lord. Of course, the result of all of that is that that tribe of Indians, Mrs. Elliot, Elizabeth Elliot, and some have gone back over there, and one of the main men, one of the men who threw some of the spears, got saved, and the others have been saved, and that tribe, for the most part, is a Christian tribe. They've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they didn't have a long life to live, but they lived it for the Lord as long as it was. And yet there are many people who live longer lives, and they don't have that right. Now, notice that the text, in the text in chapter 2, to whom he's writing, verse 7, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you." He's writing to Christians. You see that in verse 7. So he's writing to believers. And so we as believers need to realize that we have others that are living in spiritual darkness, but not us. So what are we called to do? We're called to take the spiritual light to those who are in spiritual darkness, wherever we are. We're to walk in the light. And as we walk in the light, we'll make the right decisions, and God is going to lead us to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. So, number one, we have the commandment that God gives us. God tells us what He wants us to do. Did you know that? God tells us His will, what He wants us to do. There are a number of ways to discover the will of God, but one of the main things, the number one thing, is the Word of God. We discover the will of God through the Word of God, and God lets us know what He wants us to do, and He emphasizes that in His Word. He does that. So, we have a law called the law in the Scriptures of reoccurrence. It's an important law, and it simply means when God repeats something again and again, well, pay attention to it. And it is wise when we see something that God emphasizes that we give it the same emphasis. So notice back in chapter 2, go back up to verse 3 and look at what he's talking about and see what he is dealing with when he talks about the commandment. In verse 3, hereby do we know that we know him. How? If we keep his commandments. Verse 4, he talks about keepeth, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments. In verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment. I want you to underscore the word commandment, which we have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. So we're understanding that he emphasized that over and over in this chapter. It's a commandment. It's not just some multiple choice thing that we choose, but it is a commandment that God gives us. Now, in verse 7, he says that he did not give us a new commandment, but an old commandment which he had from the beginning. What does he mean from the beginning there? He's not talking about from the beginning of the world, but he's talking about from the beginning of the public ministry and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he mentions those things, the commandment. So it's not the world, but it's the beginning of Christ's ministry. Now, in John 13, I'll just read these verses. You don't need to turn to them. But John 13, 34 and 35, he said, then Jesus in his ministry, a new commandment I give unto you, talking to his disciples, that you love one another. There's the commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. That's a lot of love, isn't it? And the word love there, the Greek word is agapeo, and it means to love much, a deep love. More than philos, which is a brotherly love, a deeper love than that, and more than eros, which is an erotic physical love, more love than that, it is God's kind of love that loves in spite of. We could just put it that way. It's an agapeo is the word used there. And then verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love. That's the word agape, or affection, deep affection, and benevolence, according to Strong's Concordance, love one to another. It's a deep love. Now I want you to turn, if you will, to John 15. Keep your place there in 1 John. Let's turn to John chapter 15. And look at some verses here, verses 9 through 14. John 15, verses 9 through 14. Jesus said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love, verse 9. John 15, 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. What is your commandment? That you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus said, that's the way I want you to love one another. The body of Christ, the believers, the true believers, all who claim to be part of that body are not part of it, but the true born again believers, that we love one another, that we love one another completely and without reservation. And so it is a commandment. He says it over and over. He said it in John 15, John 13. He said it in our text. It is a commandment, not just a suggestion. In other words, it's very firm and very clear, crystal clear, what God is saying here, that we love one another. Anybody in here ought to understand what he means when he says that, we love one another. Now, a lot of times, Christians, and perhaps some of us here today, we live more like the unsaved than we do the saved. We live more like we have darkness rather than light in our lives. And it's human nature to echo back to people what they send to you. And if it's hateful, listen, we give it back to them. You know, I don't get mad, I just get even. It's sort of the way many Christians are. And God says it should not be that way. And it shouldn't be that experience. In Greek mythology, you had a Greek soldier, and remember this is mythology, and his name was Narcissus. In Narcissus, we have the word narcissism. That's somebody that's stuck on themselves. We have a little of that in our churches, but somebody that is stuck on themselves. And Narcissus went to the lake, and he thought he was so beautiful as he looked at in the lake like a mirror, and he saw himself. Oh, he was so beautiful. And all of a sudden, a little wind or something came, and it messed up his image, and he couldn't stand it. He was so stuck on himself that he dove into the lake and drowned. But then there was supposed to be a nymph. A nymph is one of the lesser goddesses, so-called, and her name was Echo, and Echo was under a curse, and she couldn't speak, but she could only repeat what was said. But because of some things that happened, and the myth goes four or five different ways, Echo, later on, one of the gods took Echo and tore her all to pieces, but he left her spirit out there. And so when you go to the mountains or the valley and you holler, hello, and somebody hollers back at you, that's Echo hollering back at you. Now, keep in mind, that's mythology, okay? But a lot of times, that's the way we do it. And, you know, people will holler at us, and we just echo back. And we'll say something like, I resent you. You resent me, I resent you. You're going to be mean to me, I'm going to be mean to you. If you criticize me, then I'm going to criticize you. And if you try to get even with me, I promise you I'm going to get even with you. We get mad if they get mad. I mean, we're like the world so many times. And that's just natural human nature, but that's the old man. That's darkness. That's not light. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we don't faint, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Our gospel. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And in verse 6 in particular, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. We're saved, we have the light, Christ is the light in us, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We're to give it out to other people. So we have the light, and we're to share that light. And we live in a very dark, deceived, deluded world. The society and culture we live in today is totally, pretty much totally secularistic. And that's a worship of man and the denial of Almighty God. And so we have all of that. But we are to present that light. He lives in us. There has to be some evidences to the unsaved that we're saved as they look at our lives, so they will want Christ, they will want what we have. And so he shines in our hearts, and then we are to walk in that truth, in that light. Christ is in you if you're saved, and he shines in our hearts, and we're to walk in that light. In other words, we're to obey the Lord. And so the more we obey him, the more light he gives us, and the more we're able to obey him. And basically, there's no stopping as long as we live to our walking in the light. We're to walk in the light. Now you say, how is that related to loving your brother? How is walking in the light related to what he is saying here, and that is loving the unlovely or loving your brother in the Lord? Because light represents obedience. And when we obey God and we walk in the light, that's what he's talking about, his commandment, what he says, then we are able to love our brothers in the Lord. No matter what we face, we love one another. And remember now, it's a command. It's not a suggestion. God commands us, just like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. God commands us to love one another. Is that a challenge to some of us? I would think so, because we're all different. Everybody but me and my wife, they are weird, you know, but we're all different. but we have to love. It's a command of God. It's a command of Jesus in the New Testament. Now, what about the cost? Well, why don't we obey that? Because it costs us something. If we're going to do that, it's going to cost us something. And Christ is seeking, we know that one of the things Christ is doing, obviously, is seeking that which is lost. He's seeking lost souls. So Christ is able to express himself through us to lost souls. And he wants to do that if we will obey. Now, here's what we have to do in order to do that, to have this light, this proof, this thing that people would look at in our lives to want to be saved and to want to know more about Christ. We have to die to self. And boy, that is a hard death. We have to die to self. We died with Christ, as it were. We were buried with him and arose in Christ. But we have to, the Bible says we have to reckon ourselves dead to the power of sin. We have to treat our old nature like a dead man. A dead man can't hurt you. A dead man can't do anything. A lot of people are afraid to go to a funeral home. They're afraid of dead people. I'm not afraid of dead people. It's the living Baptists that I'm afraid of, but those I'm not afraid of. A dead man can't hurt you. We reckon ourselves to be dead, die to self. And so because we do that, he enables us to speak. And God knows we should speak. We should share the light. We should tell them that Jesus is the light of the world. We should do it mercifully. We should do it kindly. We should do it compassionately. And if we will die to self, we're able to do that. Now, back in our text, 1 John 2, look at verses 9 through 11 again. In verse 9, listen to what he says carefully. He that saith he is in the light. We claim we're in the light. And hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. I think the implication here is you never got it right, never got saved, really. He that loveth his brother abideth, lives in, keeps on living in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. That is very, very, very strong. And so if you hate your brother, and the Greek word there is missio, it means detest, if you detest another Christian. Or extended a little bit further than that, if you love them less than you love yourself. We should love others like we love ourselves. And so it really plows close to where we live that we should love others. We should not detest them, and we should love them. We should not love them any more or less than we love ourselves. It ought to be the thing that determines how much we love them. And so if we love them less, we're in error. So that presents a struggle. The struggle is between light and darkness, good and bad. Self-life and the life of devotion to Christ. Which one do we choose? The self-life, the self-centered life, or devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God tells us that our lives ought to be poured out as a sacrifice unto him. And we hear the Lord speaking about that in John 10:11, where he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's our example, and we're to give our life for others. And that's exactly what he did. Now, let's go back just a second to 2 Corinthians 4 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just a second to solidify this just a little bit more. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's go down to verse 8. Go through verse 12. We'd have to do that sort of hurriedly. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we told you that he's a good shepherd, and he gave his life for his sheep. We're to bear that same thing, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. We die to self for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh while we're living here on earth. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We die to self, and it helps give life to other people, and that's part of the struggle. Now, when we think of Christ being the Good Shepherd, immediately we usually go to the cross. But think about all the shepherd went through before he got to the cross. Think about all the things, and think about a real shepherd over there in Israel. They had enemies, they had beasts, they had the lions, they had the bears, the wolves, maybe they had scars. Think of that shepherd day by day, sacrificing himself, ultimately dying on the cross. And we ought to live that life day by day to be poured out to God. And this is a real fact that no one ever loved anyone really without paying a price. No one ever loved anyone without paying a price because of that love. And Paul, that's why Paul said, I die daily. You think of a mother's love. Think of back to your mother, what she did, how she sacrificed. I don't have time to give you some examples of what my mother did and my daddy. But it cost my mother and daddy a lot because they loved their five children. And they loved me. And I can tell you some many sacrifices. And the cause for them was that they died to self and put us first. And that's what we have to do, to put others first. And then the consequences. We have the commandment, we have the cost. And every decision has a consequence. We know that through verses 10 and 11. If you love your brother, you abide in the light. There's none occasion of stumbling. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness. So there's a consequence. Not only are we in darkness, but that darkness continues to go on. And so the choice is, I won't obey God in that commandment, or I will obey God in that commandment. And so self-seeking ambitions would cause us not to do that. And the ultimate consequence in verse 11, as we look at it, is that a person stumbles all the rest of their life in darkness. They grope. They can't see where they're going because they've not learned to die to self and love their brother. They deny the light. And if you deny the light, then you face the darkness. He says he walks in darkness. He doesn't know where he's going because that darkness blinds his eyes. You try to go out and walk in pitch dark sometimes, you're going to stub your toe. And we walk in darkness if we don't love our brethren, is what he's saying. So life becomes clearer and clearer, or darker and darker, depending on how we obey or disobey this commandment, not a suggestion of God. So if we walk in the light, we have proof, again, that we're saved. And if we walk in the light, we can love our brethren with agape love, a love that is not necessarily deserved, but a love that loves like Jesus loved us. And that becomes light for the lost, and hopefully those that are in darkness will see that, an evidence of our being saved, and it'll help bring them to Jesus Christ. We ought to love one another. And look around you right now. Do you love the people around in the auditorium? I hope you do. We ought to love one another. Doesn't mean we like the same colors or we agree on everything, but we love one another because we are God's children and we have the light in us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Christ's name, amen.